Welcome to the Henson Family Podcast. Today we finish up our three-part series on how Anna got into the audio engineering field. Today we'll find out which tour she was assigned to, we'll cover a week in the life of a roadie, and we'll find out what Anna fears most about the upcoming European tour. We'll pick it up right where we left off. Okay, so RIT just wrapped up, and I guess from there, and correct me if I'm wrong, y'all just continued to work in the warehouse until, because we're coming up on the summer, right? Or we're in June, maybe. And so you've got different concerts that are getting ready to go out. And so you're working at the warehouse, and the powers that be, whoever does Rota, you know, does the assignments, they're trying to, you know, figure out who's the best fit for these different assignments. So can you tell us who some of the artists were that they were considering you for?
Yeah. To first kind of start it out, kind of how the process works is you don't necessarily have to be working at the warehouse. However, it's good for, you know, those higher ups to see your face, because, you know, they see your face, your name's kind of on the forefront of their mind. But how it goes is there's a whole road staff section of Claire who, you know, assign the tours, and you wait, and they give you a phone call and say, hey, we need you for this tour. It's from X date to X date. Are you available?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't say no. I'll say that.
Yeah.
You always want to, especially mainly at the beginning, you always want to say yes.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that process works. And so kind of what happened for me was, you know, I was finished up RIT in June, maybe early July, June, July-ish, and just kind of working, getting antsy, waiting to see if I could, you know, what tour I'm going to be sent out on.
I don't know who was more nervous, you or me and Mom.
Yeah.
about where you're going to be assigned. And we were kind of sitting on the edge of our seats too, just waiting, you know, waiting to get the phone call from you.
Yeah. I would just get a text every other day. Any news? Yeah. Anything? I'll let you know. Don't worry. Yeah. So just kind of getting antsy, just working until I figure that out. And then I got a phone call from one of the road staff guys. And I was going to be put on the Maggie Rogers tour. And Maggie Rogers is a kind of a smaller indie artist,
mm-hmm.
who does her tour had been like kind of some amphitheaters, outdoor, like smaller, like almost theater type venues.
Yeah.
So that was going to be my first assignment. And I was really excited. I was really excited because, you know, I would have gone to Red Rocks and all these like really cool venues. If you don't know what Red Rocks is, search it up.
Yeah.
It's a really cool like amphitheater in Colorado. So I would have been gone to like some really cool places. And I already listened to Maggie Rogers. So mm-hmm. I was really excited for that. So I got called to be put on that, and I was really excited. I wrote all the dates down in my calendar. And then the next day I got a call from that same road staff guy, and he's like, so that gig, they aren't taking a PA anymore, a speaker system. So we don't need you anymore. Sorry.
Sorry to get your hopes up.
Yeah. I was like, well, okay, that's cool. Let me just cross out all these dates that I wrote down in my calendar. Which, I mean, you know, things like that happen. So, like,
yeah,
I came back to, like, the house that I was living at and kind of said that happened. They're like, yeah, the gig isn't real until you're on the tour bus.
Yeah.
That's really just kind of how it works. Everything's up in the air until you're physically on the bus going to that venue. So I was like, got kind of bummed out about that, but, you know, it's okay. It's whatever. And then I believe it was like 1 or 2 days later, I got a text from my teacher that did like RIT, was like, hey, I need to talk to you. Where are you at? Are you working, and where are you at? And I'm like, oh no. Okay. I don't know if this is good or bad. But I told him where I was going to be at. He's like, okay, I'm going to see you tomorrow morning in your department. I was like, okay, scary.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Kind of left you hanging.
Yeah. I was going insane for that whole, you know, few hours. And so that next day I was met in the department that I was at. And I was actually, it wasn't my teacher that was talking to me. It was the account holder for this artist, mm-hmm. I guess you'd say. And I got offered, I was being considered for this tour. I was like, okay, what is this? And they said, we're considering you to be a PA tech for Metallica. I was like, oh.
That's
a change.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, because you know.
And why did that? Why did that make you nervous? Had you heard about that tour?
So yeah, Metallica is a tour that is kind of now almost like infamous over at least in the Lititz shop because they got a lot of stuff to say the least. Like the prep for a tour of that size because they are a stadium tour, but. What also makes them unique is that it's in the round. So it's a 360 tour to where all the seats in a stadium are being sold. And so you have to get enough speakers to be able to wrap around the whole stadium and more. And just the design of, you know,
mm-hmm.
their production and their stage and, you know, everything. It's big.
So
it's a lot.
So some perspective. How many mm-hmm. people are we talking about?
I believe so. Oh, let's see. I think we had over 90,000 at least.
90,000. Wow.
AT&T Stadium when we went to Dallas. Crazy. So that kind of gives you an idea.
Yeah.
Of the quantity of people. Yeah.
But at this point, you're just being considered.
Yeah, I was told by, you know, the account representative that I'd be considered for this, you know, being that I was, you know, fresh out of RIT, I was kind of low on the totem pole of, you know, people that they would want to choose to be put out on a big stadium rig like this
mm-hmm.
with a very complicated system to put up. But I was the one to be considered out of my class. So I was like, okay, cool.
Had a lot of confidence in you.
Yeah, I was very pleased. I was very excited. It was very shocking to be go from, you know, Maggie Rogers to Metallica. But I was pumped and really kind of hoping that everything panned out to where I'd be on it. And that ended up happening. So I was officially on Metallica tour as a PA tech. So,
I'll tell you one thing that I was excited about. And, you know, and while you're sitting there, you know, working at the warehouse and they're trying to figure out what concert, you know, what tour they're going to send you out on, I'm thinking tour bus life. You know, is Anna going to like that? You know, it can be rough, you know, and, yeah. And then you find out, okay, I'm going to be on to Metallica, and Metallica flies everywhere. And I was like, that's that's pretty cool. That's awesome.
And I mean, to be fair, I was really excited about the tour bus life. I really was. I was excited for that whole side of things, which, you know, will be coming, you know, because you kind of can't escape it. But with this tour of that size, to give you an idea, Metallica's tour, you spend 1 week in every city.
Yeah.
So it would not really make sense to be in a tour bus the whole time. So we would fly everywhere and basically be in a hotel a week at a time in a different city.
So that's kind of a good segue into the next bullet point that I had. So give us like a typical week out on the road with Metallica. So like from when you arrive and till you leave.
Yeah. So how it was kind of structured was our first load-in day was on a Tuesday. And so this one was basically an audio only load-in day where, you know, lighting and video, they were kind of out of the way, just because our stuff kind of had to get up out of their way before they could really do some stuff.
Yeah.
So I would come in at like, you know, maybe 9 a.m. on a Tuesday, and we'd work until maybe 9 p.m., you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole day, we're getting in all our speakers, starting to fly them. When I say fly, I mean, you know, getting them up in the air.
Yeah.
Get that system flown. And to give you an idea, there's 8 towers that are in a circle around the stage, and each tower has 2 hangs of speakers. And, you know, multiply that by 8, and then you have more speakers on the ground and more that are hung by cables in the middle. We have almost 300 speakers that were hanging. And then I have to get all the cables for it and, you know, everything hooked up.
So for anybody listening, just go do a Google search on Metallica M72 tour, and you'll see pictures of the setup that they had, and the, you know, the towers that Anna's referring to. And I mean, it's huge, and it's quite impressive. And if you haven't figured it out by now, the title of these episodes has been 0 to 72. that's the tie into the Metallica M72 tour. So yeah, surprise, surprise. So you arrived on Monday, and then you did all this on, you know, started working on all this Tuesday, right? And then yeah, you did all that.
So first day of load-ins on Tuesday. Wednesday, we continue to just do more load-in. I mean, it takes a long time to get all this stuff up in the air. And,
mm-hmm. Imagine.
You know, and so, Wednesday's a continuation of that. Work almost like the whole day again. Get everything. That's when you start kind of getting a little bit more fine-tuning with some stuff. And then Thursday is almost like kind of a half day. You know, that's where like the final touches, where, you know, the subwoofers that are on the ground, making sure they're equally spaced apart.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's crooked. You know, making sure the cables are tidy. You know, all those like little things that you didn't think about, but like it matters.
Oh yeah.
I
gotta plead totally ignorant on this. You know, when mm-hmm. when I go to concerts, I just thought, you know, yeah, they just hoisted a bunch of speakers up in the air, and yeah, they're just pointing them in all the different directions. But
no,
I remember you telling us that, you know, these speaker, is it an array, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're kind of curved, and mm-hmm. depending on what venue you're at and how it's shaped and everything, that those curvatures and the angles of those speakers may change. So you're mm-hmm. having to do that as you're setting that up. And that's determined by the systems engineer, right?
Engineer does that kind of math and maps it out to mm-hmm. get the best coverage for whatever venue you're in, and kind of oversees, okay, this is what we need. How do we get our system to look the way it needs to in order to achieve that?
Yeah.
And so like, it comes down to like, you know, those big subwoofers, they have to be spaced out certain inches apart based off of certain wavelengths in order to get the sound to sound a certain way. So like, it comes down to, yes, it sounds like just tedious. Oh, we need to move this back a couple inches.
It makes a difference. Well,
acoustics and physics, there's a reason why.
Yeah.
And you just never really know that until like you do, like you read about like, you know, the physics behind all of it and how it all works. So, you know, there's a lot of tidying and like making sure things are correct. And, you know, all these speakers have to be flown to a certain height. And so there's tape measures that that mm-hmm. we attach to everything and all this stuff. And so lots of that stuff. And, you know, and then we get rehearsals, do some rehearsals on Thursdays,
mm-hmm.
Up until, you know, late at night. And then Friday is our first show day. And so, with their tour, it's every city, there's 2 shows. It's a Friday and a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we load in all the way up until our first show day on Friday. Friday, the opening act bands come in and set up their stuff, make sure they're ready to go. And so we kind of got to be there ready for them, do our show, and then get some food after the show, after show food, so catering. And then Saturday is our day off. We get our one day off unless something goes terribly wrong.
Yeah, if everything went okay on Friday.
On Friday, then no day off. But if everything goes right, we get Saturday off to, you know, go do whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the fun day that, you know, I really enjoy the most. And, you know, you get really close to your crew, basically living with them, you know, get to experience whatever city you're in. On Saturday, and then Sunday is our second show day. Same idea. We had, you know, Friday, the opening bands are different than the Sunday opening bands. Mm-hmm. So we're there for those openers that are loading in their stuff on Sunday. And then, our show, and then you get ready for loadout. So right after, you know, Metallica says goodbye and people are leaving, we got our hard hats on and are ready to start loadout. And
that's the long day.
Yes. Sunday's the long day that, you know, you start in the morning and you don't stop until everything's packed up in a truck and leaving. And so, you know, load out, you bring all your speakers down, the whole stage comes down, everything, like, you know, pack all your microphones away, get all your caddies organized and everything like that and put up on your truck. And I mean, this run, we got it down to a pretty good time. We get done around 5 a.m.
Yeah, remember, y'all kept improving your times.
Yeah, we've gotten pretty good. We finish in 5 a.m. Monday morning, really. Get everything on the truck and gone, and then we once again get our after-show food, a.k.a. breakfast.
Yep.
That's still, you know, that kind of food. And hopefully be able to get like maybe 1 or 2 hours of sleep before your flight to the next city, because Monday's the travel day.
Yeah.
So if you finish at 5, and sometimes your runner van to the airport is at 8 a.m. So you debate if you would like to take a nap or if it's dangerous that you would accidentally sleep in that.
Don't want to do that. So,
yeah. And then you fly to the next city and then next day's load in.
Yep.
Okay. So Anna, I think I want to ask something that I think others might be wanting to know, is that what is your relationship like as a roadie to the artist? You know, they might be wondering, wow, do you get to hang out with the artist?
I will say it depends on the artist. And sometimes, you know, the bigger shows, that kind of relationship lessens, which, I mean, for a valid reason, you know. To give you an idea of the Metallica crew, there's over 150 people on our touring crew. So it's kind of hard. It would be hard to establish that kind of relationship with an artist, you know, especially ones that would like need security with them a lot.
Yeah.
For, once again, valid reasons, stuff like that. So for me, there isn't much of a relationship there. But I mean, as you go on like some of like the smaller tours with really small crews, and sometimes it just depends on the artist. Some artists, they really enjoy getting to know their whole crew. Some, they, you know, it's a job, and so like, or if they have family, they, you know, they come do their job and they go see their family, like, you know, it just kind of depends. So you know, I'll see them around, you know, they'll be walking around the venue. I know Lars likes to watch Loadout.
So remember you saying that?
And he'll post videos on Instagram of just him just sitting in the seats as we're, you know, bringing our speakers in, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it depends.
So I'll say that was all you started that August of 2023. That was your first concert was up in New Jersey at MetLife Stadium.
Yes.
And of course, you know, we're always asking for pictures. You're constantly sending us pictures. So you did that several shows for that North American leg. So we're looking at MetLife in New Jersey. Then you went to Montreal, came to Arlington. Then you went out to SoFi Stadium in LA. Mm-hmm. You did Phoenix and then the Power Trip Festival.
Yep.
And then St. Louis and Detroit. So of all of that, what what was your favorite venue? Venue, let's say favorite venue and just hotel, I guess, and stuff.
Ooh, I might have venue and hotel is different.
Okay.
Venue, SoFi Stadium in LA. It's just cool. I'm not going to lie. It's a really cool venue. They have really good catering food there. Mm-hmm. The stage hands that are there that help you, the ones that were there for SoFi, they were really good.
I think that venue just won an award.
I think so too.
I saw it on the Claire Instagram, I think.
Yeah,
they won some sort of award for being a great venue.
Yeah, it was kept up really nice, It was clean, the bathrooms are nice, things like that. So yeah. I really, really liked that venue. Hotel would probably have to be in Arlington, Texas. I don't know. It was just slick.
Yeah.
you could tell it was kept up really nice. The area was cool. We could walk to the venue, or AT&T Stadium, had a really cool pool. I don't know, just things like that. It was just nice.
It was unfortunately for you, it was the nicest hotel of the tour, but we had to steal you away for one night and have you stay here at home.
Yeah. Casa de Henson.
Casa de Henson, yeah.
But a close second for the hotel would have to be Power Trip, the festival that we did in Palm Springs.
Yep.
Because the hotel had a lazy river.
Yeah, and I remember you really enjoyed that. Was that the trip that y'all rented Jeeps?
No. That was in Phoenix and we went off-roading.
Okay.
But during that trip and Power Trip, we did rent a car and we went to Joshua Tree National Park and went rock, like climbed a bunch of stuff and went stargazing.
That's pretty cool.
So opportunities like that,
Yeah.
It's fun.
So then I know during that Metallica tour, during that North American leg, that there was a time where they took off, had some downtime for like a month or so. And you could go back to Lititz. Well, during that time, if they might need you on another gig. And so tell us about where you ended up and who you were helping on that one.
Yeah. So it's the same situation where I knew I had, a good maybe month off from Metallica. So I could be considered for other things. And it's same idea where I just kind of wait for a phone call and see what happens. And that did happen. I got a phone call actually while I was out with Metallica to just let me know, in a few weeks I would be doing a gig. And it happened to be Carrie Underwood. She has a residency that she's doing in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And with the residencies, an artist is at a specific venue or theater or, one of those big places on the Vegas Strip for, few weeks at a time doing some shows out there.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that I would be out there helping with that one. And I was out there for, I think, 2.5 weeks in Las Vegas helping with her show. And it was really fun.
And this one, you actually got to interact with the artist because you were the person handing Carrie her microphones.
Yeah. So this is kind of like that other end of the spectrum type of thing. Where my role was completely different. I didn't really put any speakers up and down because it was just a set theater that already had their own system.
Yeah.
So my job was the title itself is called Stage Tech. And so my job is basically to make sure all the microphones are up and wired on stage and everything like that for, instruments, microphones, like vocal microphones, anything like that. But, with it being a residency, I set up everything once. And then after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, then I bring it all down.
Yeah.
So time in between, my role was on show days. Carrie, she has, I think, 6 different colored microphones that are unique to specific songs. And so my job was simply to make sure she had the right microphone at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
The job sounds pretty easy, but they're, a lot's on the line because if you give her the wrong microphone, you know, people are there to hear her sing. And if her voice doesn't come out of the microphone, well,
because you've got to test those microphones too, right? And
yeah, before I think I had 12 different mic cues during her show to bring her a specific microphone, and so between each of those cues, you know, this next song coming up with, you know, let's say like the pink microphone, I grab the pink one, I check it to make sure it sounds okay because it's wireless, and if you don't know, in the world of wireless, things can go wrong a lot.
Yeah.
And so I check it, make sure it sounds all right, and then I have to meet her at specific locations to where she does the handoff with her old microphone for the new one.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not just as simple as her stepping off the stage and you handing it to her. This, it was almost like a, I know you took us kind of virtually through one, and it was like a maze getting through down to where she was gonna be, like under the stage and things like that.
Yeah, there's parts where it's like there's like sliding doors that she'll walk through, and the doors close, and she like has an outfit change, and then she comes out from her outfit change, and I make sure I'm there with her microphone. Or there's big set pieces that are lifted from underneath the stage that she has to go down there because like she's sitting on this cool looking set piece, and so I have to be there to make sure I do the exchange there. So, you know, running up and down some staircases, running behind the stage, things like that. It's fun. And yeah, it sounds simple, but also it's one of those things where if you mess up, everybody's going to know.
Yeah. But it's a lot of downtime with this gig too, because she does what, 3 shows a week?
Yeah.
And those other 4 days, exit. you're pretty much just lounging at a resort there in Vegas.
Yeah. It's very opposite of Metallica, where Metallica is, you know, 1 day off a week unless something goes wrong. This is 4 days off every week. If it's warm outside, I get to go to the pool and spa all day type.
Yeah.
Gig. So.
So. Yeah. So we're recording this. It's February 22nd right now, and I know you're going to be heading to Vegas to support Carrie again for the first couple weeks in March. And then the plan is for you to go out with Metallica on their European leg, which you'll be leaving probably mid-May. But leading up to that, you'll be doing a lot of gear prep and stuff. So the European leg, I'm just kind of looking at some of the destinations on here. Munich, Germany. Yeah. Now, they're also doing some festivals, and it's still TBD on whether y'all are going to be working some of those festivals. So I'll just leave those off the list, and we'll just talk about the concert, the actual concert or the tour destinations. So Munich, Germany, Helsinki, Finland, Copenhagen, Denmark, Warsaw, Poland, and Madrid, Spain. Do you have – is there one of those that you're more excited about than the other?
Ooh, probably Madrid.
Okay.
I don't know if I really have a good reason for it either. Yeah. It sounds fun. But honestly, any of them. And the cool thing is with the crew that's on the Metallica tour, you know, as I said, there's like, you know, at least 150 of us. There's a lot of Europeans that are on this tour with us. A lot of them are, you know, locals in some of these places that we're going to. So you kind of get the inside scoop of, you know, the good places to go, you know, the local places.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the groups, they're all German. So they know, they're going to know some of the cool spots.
Yeah. You don't waste a night going someplace that's lame. They already kind of know, you know, here's where you need to go.
I'll look less like a tourist until they hear me speak.
Now, I think I know the answer to this next question, but I'll let you answer. Is there anything that you are fearing about this upcoming European leg?
You already know the answer.
Go ahead.
So, fairies.
Fairies? You mean like boats. The tooth fairy or?
No. My irrational fear of boats is going to come to life.
Yeah. Anna does not like, boats or, you know, any large objects near large bodies of water at all.
Yeah, and I've been told that it is going to be inevitable to travel through Europe without going on a ferry.
Yeah.
And I'm very scared. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, luckily, my crew, like my audio crewmates, know of this fear.
Yeah.
So they will support me through it.
Yeah.
As much as one can.
Yeah.
Anna, I think that fear started with Nemo, didn't it? With that shark?
Bruce?
I don't think it was necessarily Brucey? That.
Maybe.
Do I like to watch Nemo? No.
Yeah.
But I think it really started. Do you remember that trip that we took where we like you could tour like the battleship and there was like that submarine?
Yes. I do.
I think it was that.
Okay.
Because I remember we were walking and there was like not necessarily a statue, but it was like in front of like a maybe like a museum, and it was a propeller. But it was massive. And I looked at it, I was like, oh.
Oh, it could be kind of creepy when you're
kind of scary when you're up next
underwater.
To it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I and then from there it just kind of grew. The more I thought about it, the more I don't like it. No, a bit. So yeah.
Okay. Well, like I said, I kind of figured I knew what the answer would be. Well, you know what? I think we've come to the end of at least this part of your journey.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be keeping track of how everything's going and
what's up and coming.
Yeah, what's up and coming. And we're very excited for you. Mom and I actually got passports to in the event that we want to fly over and see a show or something. So
You never know.
We're ready to go for that on that side of things. So
I can't pay for a plane ticket, but I could get you into the show for free.
There you go. Yeah. You got us into Arlington for free. And that was pretty impressive. Yeah. That was awesome being able to be there and see everything behind the scenes. So
yeah, it's been fun.
Yes.
Good 11 months.
Yep. And it's very impressive how you went from zero to Metallica in 11 months. And I don't know a lot of people could say that. So
no, I think it's called good work ethic.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's a wrap on this episode and our three-part series. We hope you've enjoyed this behind-the-scenes discussion of how Anna went from zero knowledge of audio to touring the world with Metallica in just 11 months. A big thanks to Anna for taking the time to share her story. If you would, please consider subscribing to our podcast. We do our best to post a new episode each week. If you have comments or suggestions, please email us at podcast@hensonfamily.me. podcast@hensonfamily.me. Until next time, thanks for listening.